Well, I appreciate having me, Gary, and certainly I always appreciate your friendship and your willingness to reach out from time to time as the chamber is in need of things. You've always been very open and very supportive, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your leadership. I'd also like to, for a second, just to address my good friend Mark Costello. Number one, I apologize for stealing your time right now, which I'm doing. And number two, I would like the audience to know what a good man they have as Labor Commissioner. And certainly, you have the best, you have the biggest heart for the taxpayer and a great heart for economic activity in our state. And certainly, your leadership has been tremendous as Labor Commissioner. And I commend you. And I thank you for letting me have some time here. The reason I thought it was important to come, and I'll try to take 10 minutes or less of your time, is because of the crisis we have on our southern border. Last Friday, a lot of people know that we passed a bill in the House of Representatives. And it did a number of things. Number one, it increased funding for customs and border protection, which is how we secure the southern border. It also has money available for governors who send the National Guard to the southern border. People say, well, what is the National Guard going to do? Is it humanitarian? What can they do? Because we have a law called Posse Comitatus that prevents the military from doing law enforcement. What can the National Guard do? Well, the National Guard can provide intelligence, surveillance, a lot of good surveillance equipment, reconnaissance, command, control, communications. These are all things that the National Guard is very good at, and certainly as a major reservist myself, these are things that I've been involved in as I've done counter-drug missions down in Central and South America. The Department of Defense can support law enforcement in their roles, and that's what the National Guard will do. Of course, they'll also be involved in the humanitarian assistance. So what we did in our bill is we plussed up funding for the things that are necessary to secure the southern border. And I would also say, and I want to be really clear on this, our bill did not add a penny to the deficit or the debt. All money spent was paid for from other government accounts. But I also hear people say, why is it that that you need more border security when the children are coming across the border and turning themselves in? They're saying, hey, here I am, I'm gonna turn myself in, and within 72 hours, you have to send me to an HHS facility, Health and Human Services facility, and then within 15 to 30 days, HHS releases the children to a sponsor in our country. Well, who are the sponsors? Mostly, the sponsors are other illegal immigrants in our country. So the children that are coming across the border are being put into an HHS facility, and within 15 to 30 days, they're being released to other illegal immigrants in the country. And at that point, they're given a court date. And the court date could be 3 or 4 years from now, and as you can imagine, children aren't coming back for their court dates, and neither are the adults for that matter. So the challenge here is we've got to figure out how to stem this crisis, and I want to be really clear, it is a crisis. When I went down to Fort Sill, and I finally got into Fort Sill, I asked them how many children here have been abused? And they said, well, you know, we don't have that number. Well, no, I want your professional judgment. You're the one checking them in. You know, they told me I couldn't ask questions. They told me I couldn't talk to the staff or the children or the medical staff. I told them that I would treat their restrictions the way the president treats the law as a suggestion. And I went in and I started asking questions, and I asked one of the contractors how many children here have been abused. And the answer was, when he finally said, you know, would say, he said, it's well over 25%. But he said, I can't give you a specific number because they weren't keeping the metrics. Down at Lackland Air Force Base, it was over a third of the girls had been sexually assaulted. And here's how this is happening. Once people smuggle into our country, adults, I'm talking about adults smuggle into our country, they want to get their friends or relatives to come, their family, their children, their own children in some cases. They want to get them to come to the United States. So they start making money and they pay a coyote. The coyote down in Mexico picks up their child or children or friends, relatives. They pick them up and they track them north to northern Mexico. Well, at that point, you have to get across the southern border of the United States. And if we don't control our southern border, and I can tell you the GAO has said that we only have operational control over 44% of the southern border, as the law requires us to have operational control of 100% of our southern border. But here's another example of the president not enforcing the law. But here's what happens. If we're not going to control it, organized crime does. And guess what they do? So once the coyote gets the children in northern Mexico, they have to pay the right transnational criminal organization to get across the border. And this organized crime syndicates, they're going to extort the children for more money. And by the way, if the parents in this country or the relatives in this country cannot pay more to get the child across the border, the organized crime will get their money. So what they do is they force the children into either prostitution or into slave labor. And in some cases, the children die. And there are accounts of mass graves in northern Mexico. And in many cases, the children flat out disappear, sold into slavery. This is why it was so important for me to get into a facility like Fort Sill to be able to ask, and I want to be clear, Fort Sill was very accommodating. It was the HHS facility in Fort Sill that wasn't accommodating. We need to ask these questions because ultimately we have to solve this problem in a very responsible and real way. The challenge is by continuing this open border situation that we have, we enable organized crime in northern Mexico and organized crime in Central America to control governments. And this is how it works. If you are a judge, a politician, a police officer in northern Mexico, in many cases, you are either on the payroll of the drug trafficking organizations or you are dead. And I can also tell you that as I did counter drug operations down in Central and South America up until the day I got sworn in, the drug trafficking organizations in El Salvador, Colombia, other places, they're taking the drugs to northern Mexico. They weren't even trying to get the drugs into the United States because they know once they get to northern Mexico, they've got vertical integration between organized crime in northern Mexico and drug trafficking organizations in Central America. They've got a network of logistics comparable to FedEx. That's what this is. And oh, by the way, it exists in the United States as well as northern Mexico. My squadron used to bust, $2 billion worth of cocaine every year on the high seas. One squadron, we would do that. And of course, the $2 billion that we busted doesn't account for the probably five or six times that worth of cocaine that we saw on the high seas that we couldn't interdict because we didn't have any end game assets. We didn't have the ships on the ocean to do the interdiction. So we'd get the intelligence, we'd see a ship on the ocean that matched the intelligence on our radar, we'd fly by, we'd take pictures, the pictures would very perfectly match the intelligence that we got from our agencies, and at the end of the day, we had nobody to interdict the vessel, and it would go to Mexico or somewhere else in Central America at times, and ultimately those drugs make it into the United States. Here's my point. By not having a secure southern border, we are enabling organized crime to control governments. Not only governments in northern Mexico, local governments, but also governments in Central America. And because of this, there is a lapse of civilized society. You hear about how many people are murdered. It's 90 people per 100,000 are murdered in Honduras. It's about 40 per 100,000 in Guatemala and El Salvador. High crime rates, right? Because you have organized crime in control of major parts of these governments. And when we don't stop either the drug trafficking, my squadron, we busted $2 billion worth of cocaine every year on the high seas. My squadron was eliminated in March of 2013. That means this $2 billion now heading towards the organized crime that is making every effort to control governments and control the southern border of the United States on the Mexican side. That's what's happening here. It is critically important that we address this in a very serious and real way. The humanitarian thing to do, friends, the humanitarian thing to do is solve the border crisis. We need to make sure that folks know that if they come to the southern border, they're not going to get in. If they do get in, they're not going to be able to stay. We have to deter them from making this trip because it is so dangerous. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's not dangerous in Honduras, but what I am suggesting is that it's far more dangerous to try to make this trip to the United States, given the challenges with the organized crime. So we passed the bill, and I'm going to get off the stage. We passed the bill. Number one, it enhances border security. It has money for interior enforcement. It enables HHS to care for the kids in a very humanitarian way. But it also makes sure that the government holds this loophole. And ultimately, the goal here is to, in a very humane and appropriate way, stem this crisis. There is a lull right now because of the heat, but you know, if you listen to what HHS is saying, you know, they want more capacity for the future because they're anticipating more flows after the heat subsides. We passed a bill in the House. Harry Reid did nothing, went on vacation. The president threatened to veto our bill. Now he's suggesting he wants to provide legal status for 5 million people that are living here illegally without going through Congress. The Constitution is very clear. Article 1, Section 8, Congress has the authority to create a uniform rule of naturalization. The president doesn't have this authority. He's going to do it anyway. Again, disregarding the laws he's done time and time again. I'll quit talking now. I'll say that the House has done its job. We need the Senate and the president to deal with this in a very serious way. Unfortunately, they're all on vacation. They're not doing what needs to be done. So, Gary.
Yes, sir.
On that light note, I'll turn it over to you and you can introduce my good friend Mark Costello, who has, by the way, some